Talking sports and much more with Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport. This is the 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mickey Ryan and Don Davenport, JT Productions, here with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Brent Doherty with the day off. We've had this guy on before, always a great guest, Jeff Schwartz. He's with SiriusXM and SB Nation and ESPN and a variety of platforms near you, Jeff. Always appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Glad to be here, guys.
So if we just had to ask you right now, I know there's a meeting coming up in about an hour with a whole bunch of people on both sides of this issue. How close are we right this very second to a new CBA?
Well, I think we're pretty close considering, you know, the executive committee vote was 6-5. I know it wasn't in favor of the CBA, but in the end, they don't actually decide. And I think the player reps are split at kind of 50-50. And really the holdup is the 17 games and whether or not we're getting enough in return for moving to 17 games. If I had to guess, I would say that we're closer to getting this done than we're not. I think the players are not as combative toward the owners as some of the older players are in the executive committee. And again, I'm not really judging those players. I like that they are fighting for what they feel is right. But I think younger players who are obviously going to vote on this just see the extra money and a little more benefits and see a raise in a percent of revenue and just automatically, you know, assume it's a great deal. So I think if it's put into a vote with the entire players, we're probably closer to getting this done. If we're just relying on the executive committee voting, I think we're not as close.
Interesting. Jeff Schwartz, our guest, retired NFL lineman. And Jeff, you have a different perspective here because your first 3 years in the league, you played under the old CBA, the last five under this CBA. So you kind of have a taste of all of this. I know Richard Sherman is quoted as saying, oh, it looks like player safety has a price tag here when you talk about that 17th game. But for those on the outside, first, I will ask you, for those that say, oh, come on, what really is one more game, one more week for an NFL guy? To kind of answer that, being a 8 years in the league, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's another opportunity to get injured. I mean, and that's really what it comes down to, because all our careers end because of injury. I mean, look at Joe Thomas, right? Joe Thomas had 10,000 snaps in a row, tears his bicep. Now, he had injuries along the way that he played through, and he had some other issues while he retired, but, you know, he tears his bicep or tricep, whatever it was, and he retires, right? I mean, guys get injured. 100% injury rate. And most of those injuries occur during games. The reason why they occur during games is because it's full speed. You guys have been at camp practice before. You guys see it's not the same as a game, right? No tackling in the ground, not as intense. You're rotating reps. And there's really not as much opportunity to get injured. In a game, it's full speed, full tackle, full stress. Huge physical toll on your body. And to go do that one more time just increases the opportunity we have to get hurt. And I know the owners have offered players less practice time. Yeah, I mean, that sounds great, but I'll tell you what, no retired player looks back and says, you know what, I'm glad we had less practice time so I made less money. I think all of us would agree that we would take more money for a couple more days in the facility, a couple more hours. You're right, that was part of the old CBA. We came in March 15th for the off-season program. That being about, you know, 3 weeks. I mean, my life didn't really change very much between that and coming in the middle of April. Maybe I took one more vacation. I don't know. I was fine with being in the facility X amount of days longer. I thought maybe that's a better football player. So, again, I don't think that that's the reason why we should agree to 17 games. It should be because we're getting more money and, you know, some form of better post-retirement health benefits.
So that is, and that's one thing I feel like just general public doesn't dive deep into these CBAs. You know, they say, oh, okay, the 17th game, but they don't really necessarily read the fine print of what also is involved. So you mentioned the more money for players to be okay with a 17-game schedule. What is it that the players maybe need or would want more from a health standpoint to make this okay if, you know, you, the older guys obviously are going to say, okay, yeah, it's a price tag thing. But what do you think would convince younger and older players to be okay with it other than just money?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of things at play here that I don't have a great answer for, but I think is a concern. So, you know, there's a lot of the CBA offer is not terribly bad. I mean, it's better than we had in 2011. And so they've offered a lot of different things to the players, not even, you know, excluding the money, right?
Yeah.
And do we get those if we stay at 16 games? I don't have an answer for you. I don't think that was laid out very well in, you know, in the talking points. We don't know that yet. So maybe it's worth it to go to 17 games to get all these new things added to the CBA. If they're still going to be there and we can still keep 16 games, it's a no-brainer to stay at 16 games. You mentioned the health benefits. So I don't know if people know this. We get insurance through the NFL for 5 years after we retire. I understand that, you know, a lot of other, I understand that a lot of other companies have different policies on that. Some people get none. Some people get, you know, lifetime health benefits at their company. I think it's different being an NFL athlete and the way our bodies can break down after retirement. To me, lifetime health insurance feels really unrealistic. Of course, I would love it, but I understand the cost involved in paying for every single player who's even vested, you know, 3 years, three games to have health insurance is probably unrealistic. I've never actually thought that to be something that that players would agree upon. I mean, the owners would agree upon, I should say. But I think some sort of tiered system where if you played 3 years or it would be 4 years, you get 5 years of health insurance. You play 5 years, you get, you know, 7 years of health insurance. I played 8 years. I had many injuries. You know, just personally speaking, I should have more health benefits than should someone who just played 4 years, started two games, and that was their career. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased because I played, you know, that many years. But I feel like some sort of system where it was tiered by how many years you played would kind of help everyone. There would be lifetime health insurance, which is very expensive to underwrite, and I'm not sure many insurance companies would do that. Or, you know, and then also, or we can get, you know, just better benefits depending on how long you played.
Jeff Schwartz, our guest, you know him from a whole bunch of different media outlets. Great article he's written about this that I saw in SB Nation. I remember when the last CBA was signed, and you referenced this, one of the things was less practice time and less physical practices and less padded practices. And you wrote about that in your SB Nation piece. And I wanted to ask you, is more practice time necessarily a good or a bad thing? Because you talked about how maybe a little more practice time or more practice time could possibly help decrease injuries?
Yeah, I think there. If you talk to, you know, the medical people on the NFL side that are really not consulted with any of this at all, injuries have gone up, right? So the argument, you know, is that if we lessen practice, injuries will drastically go down, right? Because the wear and tear on your body is not not the same as if you practice more often. And yeah, in theory, that makes sense. And there are some players that will attribute, you know, their long-term success in the NFL to, you know, having less practice time. But the numbers don't really show it. There's not an increase, decrease in injuries. There's actually often an increase in injuries. Concussions really haven't gone down very much. You know, the average career hasn't gone up, right? So you figure that less wear and tear, we'd all be able to play longer. But none of that has actually happened. So my argument is that, you know, yeah, it's great to lessen our time in the facility and take away pads. It's all great, but that really shouldn't be the concession as to why we decide to play 17 games. And, you know, the thing you mentioned specifically, there's a fine line between practicing too much and practicing not enough. Right. In our position, in our sport, your body is in such weird positions when you get that contact put on your body, right? And I think it's important to have practice or been in practice and felt some of those positions you're going to be in, you know, in full pads. That's the point of full pads, right? It's obviously to get your work in and your hand placement and your physicality, but also to stress your body. So your body's ready to go on Sunday to some of the stresses that you're going to have. When you miss all of that and then you're put into a game, I've done this before. I played in week 12 after missing almost half a training camp in the entire season. Like, I came back to practice, and we were out of pads already. So I didn't even practice in pads before I played a game in week 12. Your body's not ready for it. And so it leads to more injuries, and your body's not ready to play. And so I think that, that's a concern. If you take away the pads as much as we're doing, yeah, it sounds great in theory. It's great fluff. Players are going to like it because we're practicing less. But I'm not sure the data shows that it actually helps us prevent injuries.
This transition here is kind of a funny one. Now Jeff Schwartz with us. You're talking about practice, and I bet there's a whole lot of Titans that don't want to practice against Derrick Henry as their teammate. But the interesting comments as we kind of move away. We'll keep an eye on the CBA, and it's certainly fascinating. That moved the franchise tag day. And interesting comments from the Titans, John Robinson's GM, about the Derrick Henry negotiations and about the Ryan Tannehill negotiations today. And I just want your take on it. With Tannehill, he was very much, hey, we're starting those talks. We'll see where they go, just like all the other players. And then on the other hand, when he was asked about the Derrick Henry comments, it was more, Derrick had a great year for us. He led the league in rushing. You know, he works hard. He's great in the community. And we're going to work through that one and do everything we can to try to keep him around. Two very different responses to two players that, you know, that you're trying to figure out what their futures are with the Titans. What's your take on those responses?
The paying a running back thing is just the silliest thing we do in the NFL. Like, how much data do we need? How much data? Look, I'm an offensive lineman, right? Like, I tweeted this a month ago. Like, I was like, you nerd, you won. You converted an offensive lineman into arguing against paying a running back. I play with the Hall of Famers at running back. Right? I play Adrian Peterson. He's incredible. But like, if you're the Titans, though, you look at your success last year. And you were better on offense when Tannehill was better. Like, there's no doubt about it. I came on here and argued this point after the Patriots win. Like, Tannehill was better, right? And so if you're prioritizing who you're signing, you sign the quarterback. Look at Dallas right now. They sign the running back, and they seemingly can't pay the quarterback, and they're going to suck next year, and they don't have a quarterback. Like, I do not understand why we think this way. And I get a lot of old school general managers, you know, say establish the run, establish the line of scrimmage. And look, as offensive lineman, I agree with that idea of being physical, but you can do it with a third round running back or a seventh round running back. You don't have to be beholden to paying a running back top dollar. It makes no sense to me. There's so much data that shows Gurley and David Johnson, and you know, the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs with Zeke last year. Like, there's so much evidence that shows that paying these guys is not worth it. The running back position is of value when you draft someone in the third to seventh round, you play them for 4 years, and you let them go. That's it. It's very simple, a running back.
Jeff Schwartz, our guest. I know we're up against time here, but I'll ask you this. There have certainly been rumors linking Tom Brady to the Titans, and there have been national guys who've opined about it and written about it. If you're the Titans, is Tannehill your guy? Or is soon-to-be 43-year-old Tom Brady, do you go that route? If you're Jeff Schwartz, GM of the Titans, what do you do?
Well, I mean, look, I think Tom Brady's staying in New England. That might not be worth, you know, going after him. But if you have to choose between Tom Brady for 2 years, let's say, and Ryan Tannehill for 2 or 3 years, you take Tom Brady. I don't think there's any question about that. If you looked at the way he played last year, I think a lot of the issues on offense, you go back, and I wrote about this after – they lost to y'all. I went and wrote about this article about just the failures of New England's offense. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was self-inflicted wounds, where it was guy dropping a pass, left guard misses a block, right tackle misses a block, Tom Brady makes the wrong read, and just it spirals out of control. And I think a lot of it stems to just Tom Brady not trusting his wide receivers and not being able to come up with ways to get guys open. And his arm looked fine. Like, his decision-making looked fine. He just got to a point where he stopped trusting anyone except Julian Edelman. Forced the ball to him all the time. On the fourth down play near the end of the game when the Titans switched the game, guy was open underneath, but he was forcing the ball to Edelman no matter what. So I think Tom can still play. I think he stays in New England. It makes the most sense. I think Tennessee could be a great option for him, better than, in my opinion, the Chargers or the Raiders. So I put Tennessee number one if he left, in my opinion. That's where I would go if I were him. I just don't think he's leaving.
Jeff Schwartz, our guest. Jack Conklin is another guy that's interesting. I'll ask you, as an offensive lineman, is he just going to make way too much money to come back here next year?
Yes. He's going to make a lot of money.
Very simple answer.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
I mean, it's you know, what bothers me, and look, I know my brother signed a new contract. Just my personal opinion, it was clearly not enough money. You know, no offense to Conklin. I hope he gets all the money. You know, I root for every player to get money.
Right.
Of course, he's going to make $14, $15 million a year. But the Titans can't pay that for that production. My brother's making like $9 million a year. It's wild. He should be making $20 million a year. You can't pay that. For that production at $15 million a year, that seems wild to me.
Jeff Schwartz, our guest. And for people who don't know, your brother, a recent world champion with the Kansas City Chiefs.
He was, yeah. I'll tell you what, it's some good business, though. I mean, he's done like 4 signings in Kansas City. You make a lot of money being a Super Bowl champion. I need to get into that business. I mean, it's too late now, but I wish I could have been in that business.
Hey, I'll tell you this. I follow a couple of their beat writers. Everybody up there, the guys I didn't know were on the team were going to be at, you know, the Dick Sporting Goods out on bypass somewhere. They're all doing very well, and they earned it. I mean, to the victor go the spoils, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, look, the name of the Super Bowl is, and now that I'm retired, you know, it's easier for me to look at the Super Bowl differently than when I played. But when you're out, and I didn't win a Super Bowl. I didn't even win a playoff game. And you look at the legacy that it can, you know, like the legacy, what it brings for your legacy and how it can define you as a player, and never is going away, right? Never going away from you, unless you're the Astros, maybe. But everyone else, it defines who you are. And, you know, I knew that going into that game, like just what it meant for my brother. Like I said, he's done 4 signings. He's made 5 figures total and all that stuff, right? Way over 5. It's your legacy. It's who you are from now on. You know, he's he have his 3rd annual charity event this year, and I saw the flyer. It's Super Bowl champion Mitchell Schwartz. Like, it never changes. So that's what winning the championship is. It's not, you know, of course it's a ring. And I was at this thing in Dallas with this offensive line recruit at Michael Johnson Performance, preparing for the combine, and Trent Brown was there, Patriots offensive lineman, and he's like, guys, I had 2 kids. Okay, I was there for the birth. It's the greatest thing ever. So Super Bowl was better. Like that's how it is for players, right? It's the ultimate accomplishment. So I'm really happy for him and happy for the Chiefs, and most of all, happy for Andy Reid. He deserved it.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Hey, man, always great catching up with you. Always great just talking and hearing your views on things. We'll have to get you back on again soon, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, take care, guys. Have a great day.
Yes, you sir, too. Jeff Schwartz and his brother Mitchell, Kansas City Chiefs.
Super Bowl champion.
All of his signings. When we come back, we'll get you up to date. What did John Robinson say about his quarterback and his running back today in Indianapolis? We have that audio when we come back. And Jim Wyatt, who got the audio, will join us at 3:30.